Triple M, it's a night shift across Australia, and it's Pat filling in for Luke Boner. Great to have your company. 133353 is our number. Now, Kayleen Wynn is a psychotherapist and a performance mind coach, and she joins us now on the line. Hi, Kayleen.
Hello, Pat. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Same to you. I'm told you're one of Luke's favourite people on the radio when you come on the show.
That's nice. Thank you.
I thought I'd suck up to start with, you know, just to sort of soften you up before I, you know, I lay into the hard questions.
Yeah, lovely. Terrific.
Kayleen, what is digital dementia? Tell me about that.
Yeah, digital dementia is an interesting one. It's something that we're starting to really see across all sectors and all ages. It's becoming the new norm in many aspects, and it's not a good new norm to be. So basically what's happening is that we're disengaging with environment and we're connecting to a device to function in society, basically. And obviously this is not a healthy functioning space for many different reasons, as I'll chat to you about.
Yes, yes. Well, our audience is very passionate about this, Kayleen, because we've had chats over the week and a half filling in for Luke about, yeah, social media, how it's causing anxiety for our young people, how they really have no option at school and stuff to use Instagram and TikTok because you're nobody, you know, unless you've got a social media platform. Now, when I say the word digital dementia, that makes me think sort of memory loss and sort of foggy brain. Yeah. But you're really talking about disconnecting from reality and living life through, a digital platform. Is that sort
Exactly. Well, whether I'm working, with clients on a corporate level or on a personal level, they're all talking to me about a brain fog. And this brain fog is happening because of what we are getting from our technical processes and our devices. So, for example, when we talk about the dissociation, what is happening on a physical brain level is where the back of the brain is being bombarded and overstimulated by incoming visual signals from a technological device, whether it be your phone, your TV, or your computer. And the front of the brain, which is our processing and our goals and motivation and where we connect to empathy and our movement, is being understimulated. So along with that, we then engage in what is called poor memory recall. So it creates learning disorders, balance disorders, feeling less confident, and high levels of stress and anxiety and depression along with that process.
So it
all sounds really good, doesn't it?
No, that's right. It's not a good mix, those items that you mentioned in that list there. Now, is it sort of fatiguing the mind in a way? The pinging and things is sort of just draining the energy from your mind?
Well, basically, it's excessive use of our devices is reducing the grey matter in our minds. So we need the grey matter because that's all part of connecting us to all aspects of who we are. Yep. So we are not actually using the tech. The technology is actually using us. So we need to retrain ourselves to be more mindful and to be more conscious of the process about how we're using technology. So it's rewiring literally our brain for distraction and also reaction. So it becomes a mood shifter as well.
Kayleen, so, can I say this word to you? Meditation.
Yes.
Meditation.
Yes, absolutely. I'm big on the meditation stuff, but just plugging out. And, you know, I do walk and talks with my clients down at the beach sometimes, you know, through my week. And, you know, everyone is on their phone. When we're down at the beach walking along and talking, everyone's on their phones. They're not actually engaging in what's going on around them. Yep. So it's really interesting that we're looking for connection because obviously we get a dopamine hit from technology because it's releasing a lot of these EMFs into the field, and we're taking these things on. So the question now becomes whether technology is convenient or is it crippling us
levels? That is the question. But I guess the answer to that is there's a good side and a bad side, and you're saying technology is using us. We have to learn to use it more. Use it in a better way. Isn't it ironic, Kayleen, that we've invented all this stuff to make our lives easier? We thought, how great would this be to have email and all these devices where we can access the world? And it's eroding our mind and awareness.
It is. Because what we're doing, we're outsourcing our brains to our devices. And we even, you know, call these things smart devices. You know, there's even a subliminal name there that we keep using.
Yes.
So we are so reliant on these devices. They're actually making us more stupid and they're dumbing us down without us really realizing that they are.
Okay, so there's, there's the outsourcing, Kayleen, but there's also, I also hear you saying it's the cluttering of the mind too with all the stuff. So so it's the outsourcing, getting something else to do our thinking. Yeah, and so there's the clutter.
Exactly. So we're starting to lose the ability to do the things we once did. So I, you know, I watch when clients come to me when we're doing a session or a group session and I say to everyone, turn your phones off. And I look at them and they all look at me as if to say, oh, no, I can't do that. It's like there's this anxiety that comes over them that I've got to have my phone on. And I make it very clear that no phones need to be turned on because you're not going to be focused on what we're doing. Your attention's going to be every time that phone pings, you're going to be wanting to know what that's about.
Yes.
And it's creating this inner anxiety in us all.
Yes.
So, you know, I don't know if you've, you know, when you go to lunch or dinner or out with friends, everyone's got their phones on the table. No one is actually got them hidden away anywhere because it's subliminally training us to say that this is more important than who I'm sitting with now.
And somewhere in your brain, you know that it's on because I can say that because now that I'm filling in for Luke, I've learned to put my phone on do not disturb because I need to sleep throughout the day.
Yes,
and there's a sense of relief. It's like I put it on do not disturb and I feel free.
Yes.
I can sleep, I can go over there and here and I know that it's just not going to call me. I thought, oh, this is pretty cool.
That's it because you're now using your personal power over that device rather than it having the control and power over you. So this is where we have to be more mindful and more conscious and present in how and when we're using these things. So I'm a big believer that we need to turn these devices off at night because they also impact sleep.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, Pat, when people talk to me about, you know, memory, they say to me, oh, I've got a bad memory or I've got a good memory. And I'll say to them, well, interesting, there is no such thing as a good or bad memory. There's only a trained or an untrained mind.
Right, right.
So you've got to think about how you've trained your mind and what's it training, you know, how have you trained it to do what and think.
Yeah.
So people will say to me, my memory's bad because I'm getting older and I think, well, you've just now reprogrmed yourself to believe that,
you're
to be true.
When, that. Yep.
Exactly, because age actually has no power, believe it or not. And people give it power and use it as a limitation rather than what's possible, you know?
Yeah. It's like that old saying, if you think you can't do it, you're right because you've you know, you've convinced
yourself.
Exactly. Now, Kayleen, is this related to, I remember reading somewhere that people like Obama, when he was the boss of America, he would get up in the morning and these guys, him and other sort of high-powered corporate people, would wear the same clothes every day because every decision, they have to make lots of decisions all day. They've got people at them all day. Every time you make a decision, it sort of fatigues your mind. So if you can limit that, when you get up in the morning, you know you're going to put on those clothes and have a routine. It kept his mind clear and didn't fatigue the brain because you know, he consciously sort of made less decisions in the mundane things. Is there any link there that, you know?
Once again, it comes back to what you want to believe because what is belief? It's what, you know, directs a lot of our choices and decisions that we make. So if he believes that was true for him, well, that'd be the case. But I don't necessarily agree to all of that because it's about setting up conscious habits that support you that are healthy choices for yourself. So as an example, when we're talking about memory as an example, a third of our memory is predetermined by genetics. Two-thirds is in your control. So we tend to use genetics as an excuse to say, oh, my father or mother had a bad memory or they had Alzheimer's or they had this. And we automatically attach to that belief and believe that's going to be our story as well. Yeah. And we need to understand that we control these processes through neuroplasticity, where we can change the connections, and also through neurogenesis, where we're creating new cells all the time in the brain. And people think that we are losing our cells the older we get. Well, no, they keep being created till the day we die, basically.
Mm-hmm. So our hands are on the steering wheel. We can control this. It's not happening to us. We're doing
that's
it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So there are 10 things that we can do to help, you know, and I ask the listeners out there to rate themselves with this out of 10, where they would sit with this.
Okay.
So we want to create what I call an ageless mind,
right,
and a mind that's going to power form for us.
Right.
So we need to understand the first thing we need to make sure we're doing is hydrate. Water is really important to our body and to our brain and to our mind.
Yep. I reckon I'm a 7 out of 10 with that one, to hydrate.
Yeah, good on you. Good, good, good. Posture, how you sit, how you stand. Because most people are on devices, they tend to hunch over, which means it's changing their whole biology and it's also changing how they breathe into their bodies as well.
Leroy and I in the studio here, I stand when broadcasting, so I think that's a good thing.
Well done.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Standing, definitely. So big tick for you for that. Yep. Absolutely. Now let's get on to foods. Food is important.
Yep.
Eat good brain foods. So things like your berries and your salmons and things like walnuts. Have you ever noticed a walnut is shaped like your brain?
Like a brain, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because it is brain food. It literally is brain food for that reason. And our food is really our medicine on many levels, you know. So green vegetables, things like broccoli, spinach, avocados, olive oil, fabulous for the brain because they, you know, the brain needs DHA, which is what the brain is made up of.
Right.
Which is the omegas. So we need that to feed the brain.
Can you take supplements for that sort of stuff, Kayleen, or it's best to eat the food you can? Yeah, okay.
Well, best to eat food, I say. I think that if you can get the natural medicine itself, the better.
Yep.
Things like turmeric are also very good for the brain as well. So then we come to what we call the automatic pilot of the mind, which is watch your self-talk. What negative things are you thinking in your mind, because those things are producing a lot of how you feel, what you do, how you behave. So most people don't listen to what they're really saying because it's like a automatic pilot. You know, we have approximately 60,000 thoughts a day that run through our mind. So 80% of those literally sit in the negative pool of thinking.
Right. And it's running in the background, Kayleen. We don't even notice it.
That's right. It's like a radio station being on all day.
Negative.
And that's it. That's right. Yep. And your self-talk is that.
You know, Dr. Karl Krasniqi, he's a scientist and very clever. We feature him on the show here. And I made a reference to affirmations last time we spoke to him, and he said it was all crap. He didn't believe in affirmations.
Well,
but he's a scientist.
I agree to that. I agree to affirmations. But I have another part to that. People just speak affirmations. Just speaking something is not going to really make the connection. You've actually got to feel it through the mind-body connection.
Yep.
So you've got to feel what that affirmation actually feels like. So if you're trying to tell yourself, as an example, I'm losing weight, you need to be able to feel that connection that you are losing weight.
Right.
Most of the time the feeling, the emotion and the mental is out of whack. It's not in connection.
Okay. All right. For our listeners, we're talking to Kayleen Wynn, psychotherapist and performance mind coach, about digital dementia. And I'm saying affirmations, you clarified that. Yeah, positive statements that you say to yourself to sort of reprogram the way you think, like, as you say, I am losing weight, I am strong, I am courageous, all that good stuff.
Yep.
Okay. Yep, no worries. You get the list, an excellent list.
Yep, and that's it. So the mind is always listening. Just remember that. The mind is always listening. Mm. But it doesn't actually know what is right and wrong. Remember that. It's what we attach to that makes it what's right and wrong.
Well, Shakespeare said that, didn't he? He said, nothing is right or wrong, only thinking makes it so.
Well, that's right. It's all about perspective. Exactly. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right.
All right.
So, yes, so there's some tips for people, and probably the major one that I want to refer to is keep positive people in your life, because what, you know, people are either there to inspire you, encourage you, challenge you, energize you. That affects also your brain health and your mind.
Yes.
So be aware of your environment in that regards. Also be aware of how clean your environment is. Now, this is where you were talking about a cluttered mind before.
Yeah.
We need to understand how organized is our environment? Because your external world impacts your internal world. Uh-huh. And it affects your environment affects your inner world. So it's a feedback loop. It brings clarity of thinking. Think about when you clean out your desk or you clean out a cupboard or you clean out a room.
Make your bed in the morning.
Automatically.
Make your bed in the morning, that one.
Yeah, that's it. All of that.
The army guys say that way you get a bit of discipline into your life. Now, you talk about removing negative people and influences in your life. That's a big one, Kayleen. I mean, because sometimes it's people close to you that you love and they love you.
Yes.
And they're still, for whatever reason, sort of not a great influence. It's just the way they are.
Yes.
So that's a tough one, isn't it? What are you going to do? Because, you can't just get rid of those people.
No, and, a lot of those people tend to be family, I have to say, so because people are always talking to me about those aspects. But what we need to understand is we don't get to change people. We can only change who we are and how we show up. So the important part is not to be reactive in that process. Be in a place of acceptance. That's who the person is, and you get to make the choice of how you engage in that process. Rather than feel we've got to take on what they're saying or doing, because we are then giving them power to control us.
Okay, so it's a bit of sort of detachment. You let them speak, but internally you're sort of saying, you're just playing music. You're playing on hold music in your brain while they're talking.
Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly. And because most people don't hear what they say, they really don't. And until we actually go, is that really true, or is that, what are you going to do about that? Because we feel when people project any negative things onto us, we feel we've got to do something with that.
Yeah.
And the key is it doesn't belong to you. You need to send it back to the person to be able to say, well, what do you think you're going to do about that process for yourself?
Yep.
Because you're not owning it. It doesn't belong to you. But people do take these things on for themselves.
Oh, there you are. So you've got a choice. Yeah. It's up to you. You don't have to sort of take it on just because somebody's saying it. Kayleen, now I know why Luke Boner loves you so much. Because you've got great advice and adding wonderful value to the program. So we appreciate your time this morning on the night shift. We can see you online. Your website is kayleenwynn.com.au. And you're a mind coach and a psychotherapist. Did I say that correctly before?
Yeah,
I did. Good.
Yeah, that's
psychotherapist
right.
and performance mind coach, Kayleen Wynn. Yeah. Thank you.
Pleasure, Pat. Great talking to you.
See ya.